And I love this one. It's out of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the faith chapter in the Bible. So Hebrews 11 has a bunch of really amazing, awesome people of faith and some of the things that they believed for and that God did through them and for them and with them. And this verse follows right after the faith chapter. And it says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, mighty men and women of faith, right, is what he's talking about. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I just love that because we are in a race. We are in a race for Christ-likeness, and God wants to remove some weight off of us. He's already done it this morning. He's going to remove some more today, I believe. I normally don't give cute titles for my messages, but today's an exception. As I was praying and processing through this, I heard the Lord say, "It's a small world after all." So the title of this message is It's a Small World After All. So please don't get that song stuck in your head. You'll hate my guts for a while. Please forgive me. It's a small world after all. And I'm not talking about world peace. I'm not talking about, you know, everyone's connected by 6 degrees of relationships. You'll see in a second what I'm talking about by a small world. This message is actually about judgment and about freedom. So 2 Corinthians 3:6 says, the letter kills, speaking of the law. So legalism kills, but the Spirit gives life. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. 2 Corinthians 3:17, a couple verses later, says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now, we want the Spirit of the Lord with us. And if the Spirit of the Lord is with us, there should be freedom. Wherever there is legalism, the Spirit of the Lord is kind of implied is not there. You know, he doesn't have free reign to be there. So legalism kills, the Spirit gives life. So the Lord wants to set us free this morning of some things, but we want to have a culture of freedom, don't we? Because a culture of freedom, not always, but in general, is a culture of the Spirit when it comes to church. A culture of freedom is a culture of the Spirit because the Spirit brings freedom. Jesus came to set us free so that we would be free indeed. So every time we cast judgment on somebody, not necessarily their behavior, because we are called to know right from wrong. We're called to judge right from wrong, but we're not called to judge people. So we're going to talk about that a little bit, but every time we cast judgment on a person, we are in a sense casting the law on them. We're casting a law on them. So we want a freedom-filled, Spirit-filled life, and we want to be people who bring freedom to others, not bring the letter of the law and kill others. So we have to be people that are not judgmental. So Luke 6:37 says this, judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. If you switch that around, the implications of that are a little scary. If you are someone who judges, what are you going to get? You're going to get judgment back. What if you are someone who condemns other people? You're going to get condemnation back. What if you're somebody who does not forgive other people? You're not going to get forgiveness. Ouch, that's a little scary. One of our biggest problems in Christianity is that we put all the promises and all the blessings, or most of them, off into the sweet by and by, when we die and one day we'll get all the blessings and the promises and we'll get the fullness of it. That's true. But what we also do is we say, oh, well, I won't get judgment now. I won't get condemnation now. I won't get unforgiveness now. That'll happen in the sweet by and by. Someday I'll be judged or blessed. We throw it off into some future world. But I'm telling you, these things are for right now and for today. So how many of you want to be judged, condemned, and not forgiven? None of us, right? Hopefully not none of us. So what do we have to do? Not judge, not condemn, and we need to forgive, right? Matthew 7:1, right underneath that, says, judge not that you be not judged. For with the same judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So judgment, without us realizing it, it acts like a mirror and it comes back onto our life. So the Lord gave me some revelation a couple weeks ago. I was just meditating on this. There is a button on my TV that is like it's called the aspect ratio button. And you can press the button and it can take this, you know, rectangular shape that fills the screen and it'll make it square. So it cuts the sides off. Then you can press another button and it makes the picture even smaller. And you keep pressing buttons and it makes the picture smaller and smaller and smaller with all this black space around it. And the Lord was showing me that when we judge, because judgment comes back on us, what we are doing is shrinking the area of grace in our life. Inadvertently, we're shrinking that area of grace. So we make our world smaller the more we judge. We make our world smaller the more we judge. I'll just give you an example from my own life. I've made some judgments against, you know, I guess spiritual fathers or spiritual authority. When I was a little kid, my dad's brother, who I never saw, so my uncle, almost never saw him. We went over to his house one time and he wanted to play card games or something with my dad and my mom and some other people, but the kids were getting in the way. So he made us all go to bed, like way earlier than I normally go to bed. And he personally escorted me into this strange bedroom and made me lay down in some strange bed hours before I normally go to sleep, just because this guy wanted all us kids out of his hair so he could do adult stuff. And man, I did not like it. And I judged him like crazy. And then something else happened with, you know, an older father figure type person. And I judged them and I didn't like them. And before I knew it, I was kind of had this pattern of judging people that were older than me and father figures. So I judged some leaders in my past. And here's a couple of the judgments that I made. Leaders only use people. Because I saw a bunch of people that were in authority that were using other people to either for financial gain or for their own position or to make themselves look good. At least that was my assumption, right? That was my ungodly judgment of them. But that was one of the conclusions I came up with. Leaders just use people. One of my other judgments was that leaders don't work as hard as the people who serve them. I saw a lot of people serving and working and trying to prove, right, that I'm worthy of praise or worthy of attention or worthy of something. And I saw some leaders just using other people. And those other people were working harder for a certain goal than that leader was themselves. And I didn't like that, so I judged them. So if you kind of think about it, what harm could come from me judging that leaders only use people and leaders in general don't work as hard as the people that are serving them? I mean, it's about other people. It's not about me. So, you know, how could that
come back on me? How could that be measured back to me? How could that come back to me as a consequence of my life? Well, there's lots of ways you could imagine. But one of them, because I made judgments about those leaders, as soon as I stepped into a leadership role or a leadership position, guess what I could never do? I could never have an inkling of anyone ever feeling used. And I could never let anybody else work harder than me. So without me realizing it, when God wanted to send somebody my way as a provision to me to help carry out the ministry or fulfill a goal, because I had this judgment about other leaders in my life, I would never let them work harder than me. So I always had to be the hardest working one in the room. God is healing me of that, but it set me up for a trap. I literally trapped myself in this box or in a prison of my own judgments because I don't want to be a hypocrite. Do you want to be a hypocrite? I don't want to be a hypocrite. But because I judge leaders, now I didn't give them grace in a certain area, so now I can't live in grace in that area. I literally blocked off, if you were to use that TV screen as an example, I kind of painted some black edges on the side and said, I can't live there, and I can't live there. And I shrunk my life down a little bit. So hopefully that kind of gives you an idea of what happens when we judge people. You literally, you're applying the law to somebody else, and that law comes back on your life. And in that place where you've applied that law, the Spirit of God isn't there. Grace is not there. Grace isn't there where there is legalism and law. The letter kills. So that part of my life is a no-go zone for me. Well, what happens when you judge women? Well, moms are just like this, or women are just like this. And, well, you just kind of shrunk another area that you can live in. And, well, you know, brothers are just like this. And, you know, money's just hard to get, and there's barely going to be enough. So your idea of money, you know, get shrunk, and pretty soon we shrink the permissible area. We're not talking about sin here, but the area that I'm allowed to live and be free and make mistakes without feeling condemned and ashamed because of my judgments, that area that I can live in of grace gets smaller and smaller and smaller. The more we judge, the smaller the world that we can live in freedom becomes. Does that make sense? Yeah? Because we're throwing the law out there and it comes back on us. So when you live in judgment, it's a small world after all. It's a very small world. Some of us are trapped. There's areas of grace that the Lord wants to give us, but our heart says, no, that cannot be because we have made judgments. It's a small world when we judge. It's a small world when we judge. Our internal world creates our external world. This is the older I get, the more understanding I get, the more mature I get, and the more lives of people I get involved in, and the more counseling that I do, I realize this is more true than any of us want to admit. That our internal world, the picture that we have created in our heart, determines what our external world looks like. Okay? And so if we have a heart full of judgment, then we have a small world of grace here. And the devil will make sure that we have a small world of grace around us. But our heart will also want those pictures to match. And I'll talk about that in a second. But it works like a scale. When I was praying about this, the Lord showed me a scale. And imagine on one, you know, those old school scales that you know, have the metal trays and you put a weight in one side and the other side flips up, and then you got to put the weight in the other and the other side flips up and you try and balance it. This is the way our heart works. We have an internal scale, right? Right in here, where we say, this is what money's like, this is what moms are like, this is what dads are like, this is what leaders are like, this is what spirituality is like, this is what whatever, right? Anything. We make judgments about everything. And it goes on the scale of our heart. And when the external picture, the other side of that scale, does not look the same, when it's out of balance, our heart goes, something's wrong. Something's wrong here. It's not supposed to look like this on the outside, because I have this picture on the inside, and this picture on the outside does not match up. And until the external picture matches our internal picture, our heart doesn't feel comfortable. Because our heart feels at home, our heart feels comfortable in the picture that we have painted on our heart. Right? We're used to it. That's the land of comfort. Our heart says, something is wrong with that. Something is wrong with that. We know this is true, and you've seen it maybe in your life or other people's lives, and this is an easy example to use, so forgive me if this applies to you. But you've probably met some women or know some women or heard stories about women that have been abused as a child. And they hate abuse. They hate it with all their heart. It was terrible and traumatic and horrible. Yet somehow they end up marrying an abusive man. And they say, well, he wasn't abusive when I was dating. He was a super nice guy. But we got married and now all of a sudden he's abusive. And then they divorce that abusive man, and they hate that abuse, and they don't want that abuse, but next thing you know, they marry another abusive man, or they're with an abusive boyfriend. How in the world does that happen? That they attract the very thing that they don't want? It's because of judgment. Something, even though they didn't like it, the internal image of their heart said, this is what fathers are like. This is what men are like. And there is a spiritual force on the inside of us that wants the external world to match up with the internal picture. Now, I'm not excusing abusive men. It's both parties here. But we have seen when somebody changes the image on the inside of them, their external circumstances change. We were talking about this on Wednesday night in our group, that we have seen people on one side of the country forgive somebody that lives on the other side of the country that they had a relational strife with, and literally the next day that person calls them. And something shifts in the relationship. Across the country, there's something in the spirit realm. Our heart wants our external world to look like our internal world. Let me give you another example of this. 90% of lottery winners are back at the same level of income they had before they won the lottery within 10 years. 90%. Is that unbelievable or what? 70% go completely bankrupt. 70% of all lottery winners. In fact, right now, if you would like to increase your odds of going bankrupt in the next 3 to 5 years, win the lottery. You will have a higher percentage of going bankrupt in the next 3 to 5 years if you win the lottery than if you don't. How is that possible? How does that work? It's because, and if you play the lottery, please, I'm not judging you. There's some generalities here, but in general, statistically speaking, people that play the lottery the most, almost everyone plays when it's like billions of dollars, right? But statistically speaking, the people that play the lottery most are the poorest of our society because they're trying, they just want some hope and they want a way out of their situation. That's what happens. Well, they're used to being poor. They don't want to be poor. They don't like being poor, but they're used to being poor. And they come into a whole bunch of money, and their heart says, whoa, this is awesome, but I'm not used to this. This is uncomfortable. This isn't the world I'm used to living in. And they make decisions, and they do things. Stuff just happens. It's incredible. They don't go back to a level less than they were making before. They don't go back to a level more than they were making before. They go basically right back to the exact level of income that they had before they won the lottery. How could it be almost exact? Because that is the world that I'm used to living in. I'm used to making $40,000 a year or $20,000 a year. I may not like it, but that's what I'm used to. And that's what the internal picture on my heart says. I'm a $20,000 a year kind of guy. I don't like it, but that's my world. And when our external world doesn't match up to that, it's unbelievable. Stuff just happens to make it go back to the way it was. So how do we change that? We have to change the image on the inside of us. And one of the ways we do that is by recognizing and repenting of judgments. Now, these are generalities, okay? This isn't like some spiritual law that 100% of the time it always works this way. But for the most part, it's true. By our judgments, we create a graceless life. So Jesus said, where's that scripture? Matthew 7:1, I think it was. Judge not that you not be judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. That word in the Greek is metron, where we get the word meter. So you could say measuring stick or measuring tape. The measuring tape that you use against somebody else is the exact measuring tape that you're actually using against yourself. How many of you ladies would get super excited if I had a tailor's tape, you know, the flexible, like, tape that you can measure your waist with and stuff? We said, all right, ladies, everyone line up. We're going to measure your hips and your waist and your chest, and we're going to write it all on the board, and we're going to see how you're doing. How many of you ladies are like, yes, sign me up? Some of the teenage girls are like, yeah, whatever. But all the rest of the women are like, no, that is a nightmare. There is no way. But I'm telling you, this is what we do. We have a measuring tape, and we hold it up to people. I mean, this would be a great skit to do, right? Because you size people up when you meet them, especially guys. I don't know. Girls, do you do that too? Let's be honest. Yeah, you do. You know, guys shake hands. So, what do you do for a living? Trying to figure out how much money do you make? What do? Right? We wouldn't say it, but like, hey, pull out your wallet. Let's see if mine is thicker than yours. Right? And we hold this measuring tape up, and we go, you're too short, you're too tall, you're too young, you're too old, ooh, you're too ugly, oh, you're too attractive, don't want to be friends with you, you'll make me look bad. And we hold up this measuring tape to each other, right? This is exactly what we do. But we measure everything. What about us guys? Like, hey, let's have a measuring contest. Let's pile up all our assets here and see whose assets are the tallest. You know, we do that to each other, unfortunately. And most of the time we're doing it when we're little kids. We come to conclusions about money, how easy it is, how hard it is to get, how much there is available, how much there's not available. We do this to moms, dads, siblings, brothers, sisters, work, career, God, everything. We've judged everything. But guess whose measuring stick we used? Ours. That measuring stick gets measured back to us. So if I were to measure all you ladies, or if I were to measure you guys and just said, okay, you're too tall, you're too short, you're too fat, you're too skinny, you're too ugly, you're too good looking, whose measuring stick are we using? Mine. We're using mine. But whose measuring stick is right? Not mine, right? All you ladies would definitely say, no, your measuring stick is not right. So is your measuring stick right? No, it's not. Actually, probably not about almost anything. Probably almost not about anything. So here's the problem. Here's another problem that we do when we're trying to size other people up, is we size other people up and we go, wow, he's more popular than me. He's more popular than me. He's a better athlete than me. He's smarter than me. He's better looking than me. He's skinnier than me. Oh, man. I stink. We take this measuring tape, right, that we decide the measurements of. We decide what's good and not good. And we measure each other. And I think what Scott was talking about this morning is we measure ourselves. Go, I'm not good enough. According to who? According to whose measuring stick? Yours. But when we do that, we exclude ourselves and we shrink our life. I'm not good enough for that. I'm not good enough for this. We make our world small by the measuring stick that we use. Whose tape measure is right? None of ours. None of ours. Let's see. How much pride is okay in the church? How much pride is okay in other people, according to me? Well, I'm all right. If you have less than me, you're probably legalistic and you don't understand grace. If you have more than me, oh yeah, you're prideful. Right? Yeah. This is what we do. This is what we do. We all have this measuring tape. We all have this measuring tape. Judging other people is comparing according to your wrong measuring tape. That's what judging is. It's comparing. We are called to judge right from wrong. We are called to know right from wrong. We are not called to condemn each other and measure each other up in that way. God's is the only tape measure that's right. When I first got saved, I was so unbelievably grateful and overwhelmed by grace that God would love and accept and forgive a sinner like me. And I realized, man, nothing I have figured out and measured, all of it is wrong. And I just dropped my measuring tape and said, Jesus, I don't know nothing. I've been wrong about everything. My worldview was so off that I just threw down my measuring tape, said, who am I to judge? I'm the worst of all these sinners. I measured myself. I know. And it was so freeing. It was so freeing. I knew there were people in my life that still were not living right. I knew they were doing sinful things, but I had just recently been doing those very sinful things right along with them. So who was I to judge? I couldn't. I just was grateful that I got included. And I was free. For a while, till I started knowing some more right and wrong and reading the Bible and doing some right. Then pretty soon, the more right I do, the more I can go, oof, you're definitely not right. And you know, falling short there, buddy. Right? Sadly, the farther we get away from that unsaved, sinful life, the easier it is to judge. We do get wiser. We do grow in knowing right from wrong better and knowing the Lord's heart, but somehow it's still easy to use that measuring tape against people. John 5:22 says this, for the Father judges no one. The Father judges no one. Jesus was having a conversation. And he said, guys, Father God is not judging you. He's actually handed judgment over to me. And then here's the crazy thing. Jesus says actually several times in several places, John 8, 15 to 16, you judge according to the flesh. You're comparing yourselves with each other and what you think is right, and you're judging each other according to the flesh. I judge according to the Spirit. He didn't even say that, did he? He didn't say, I judge according to the Spirit. He says, I don't judge anyone either. Me, the Father, isn't judging you. And guess what? I'm not judging you. That's incredible. Yet, even if I do judge, even if I decided to measure you up, I'd be right. Because I'm not trying to compare myself to you to make myself look better. I have no skin in that game at all. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it's not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. We both know right from wrong. And if I wanted to measure you up, I could. But that's not what I'm here for. And guess what? That's not what the Father's doing either. We're not measuring you up. We all know, including you, that you're wrong. We love you anyway. I came so you drop the tape measure. That's amazing. John 12, 47. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world. I came to save it. I came to get you to drop your tape measure, make you free. If you don't drop that tape measure, you're going to be in bondage in one way or another. You just don't even know it. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. We all will be judged. One day we'll be judged by our violation of our conscience. We'll be judged by what we knew was right and what we knew was wrong and doing it anyway. We're going to be judged by the words of Jesus. But in that moment, at that time, he said, I'm not here to condemn you, measure you up, and say, you suck, get out of my face. And neither is the Father. We came to save you and set you free. That's incredible. Why are we carrying tape measures around? If God's not doing it, John 5:30, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge. He's saying, I'm not even on my own deciding to measure you up. I've decided, Father, what are you saying about this person? What are you saying about that person? We come to all kinds of conclusions about people, and oftentimes we find out they're wrong. Or we look down on them until we hear their story and we go, oh my gosh, I can't believe they're even functioning. And we feel guilty that we judge them that harshly when we hear their story. Jesus didn't size people up. He just said, Father, you tell me. You know their heart. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. 1 Corinthians 4, 3 to 5. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Corinthian church. And he says, but with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. It doesn't matter to me. I know who I am. Right? For I am not, in fact, I do not even judge myself. Wow. Most of us think that that's our full-time career in Christianity, is to continue to measure myself up and figure out where I'm screwing up and go, wow, okay. Jesus, me, ooh. You, me, oh, I'm not doing good. That's not our job. In fact, Paul said, I don't even judge myself. He says, for I'm not aware of anything against myself. I'm not aware that I'm actually consciously sinning, but I am not thereby acquitted. That doesn't mean that I'm not sinning. I'm just not aware of it, and I'm not thinking about it. I'm just living for Christ. And if God wants to tell me, Paul, you're wrong, he'll tell me. Therefore,
Oh, sorry. It's the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. So the Apostle Paul does not even judge himself. We need to let our fruit judge us. We need to let the Word of God judge us. We need to let the Lord judge us if we're doing something wrong. We're not supposed to take out the measuring tape against anybody else or even ourselves. We also have to consider the possibility that there's some people around us who may be using God's measuring tape. God is the only one who has an accurate measuring tape. He's the only one. And if ours doesn't match up to his, we're wrong. We're wrong. We need to get his. But we need to be open to the fact that there may be some people around us. Husbands with your wives, wives with your husbands, kids with your parents, parents with your kids, friends with friends. Guys, even your mother-in-law can be right sometimes. Heresy, I knew it. We need to be open to the possibility that sometimes the people around us are seeing with God's measuring stick and they are seeing accurately and that they are right. James 4:11 says this, "Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge." Let me paraphrase this for you. He is saying if you think that you're fulfilling the law by applying the law to the people around you and saying you're guilty, you're innocent, he says that's not being a doer of the law. What you're doing is you are getting up on a throne, on a judgment seat, stepping outside of the law and applying the law to somebody else and saying, you're guilty, you're innocent. That's not a doer of the law. That's a judge who sits outside of the law giving innocent or guilty. And he goes on to say, and he says, there's only one lawgiver and judge who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge your neighbor? Who are you to judge your neighbor? We're not supposed to be doing it. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The Father's not measuring us up. Jesus isn't measuring us up. The Spirit isn't here to give the letter of the law and a ministry of condemnation. We all know we're guilty. If we're wrong, we're wrong. He has come to bring freedom. He's come to open up the image of where we are allowed to roam in our life. There's areas of grace he wants to pour out of us, but we will resist it until we repent of those judgments and get rid of them and get a revelation that they're even there. So, if you guys wouldn't mind standing up with me, I just feel like the Lord's going to give another level of freedom. And all we're going to do is we are going to take our tape measures, especially the ones we use against ourselves. Because again, that's probably the biggest sin in Christianity is self-judgment and self-condemnation. Who are you to judge? Who are you to judge? We're going to lay down our tape measures that we're using against ourselves and trust God that if you stay in his word, if you stay in his presence, if you stay in fellowship, that he will correct you when you're wrong. But other than that, don't be pulling out the tape measure. Just let it go. The Lord's more than capable. Can you trust him with that? Okay. So this is what I just want you to do. Just ask the Lord, is there anyone I need to forgive right now, Lord?
If you are the tape measure person that you've been using against yourself like crazy, then you need to forgive yourself. Well, Lord, we thank you so much for your grace. We thank you for your love, and we thank you for a spirit of freedom. We thank you for a spirit of freedom. You came to set our hearts free of condemnation. You came to open up the area of grace in which we can live. Thank you, Lord. I ask that you would just pour out revelation right now, God. Pour out revelation. Now, if you have a yardstick, a tape measure, whatever your measuring device is, and if you need to get rid of it, I just want you to come up here to the front, and there's an imaginary waste bin right up here. I just want you to dump it in and let it go. Can we do that? Okay. Thank you, Lord. Just come on up if you need to do that. Don't be ashamed. We're not going to pull out the tape measure against you if you come up here. We're dropping them all. Ha, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, can I get the worship team up here real quick? And we'll sing that last song that we said we would sing. Why don't you, once you've thrown your tape measure away, just come and receive some grace. The Lord wants to pour out grace. He wants to pour out refreshing. He wants to lighten that burden. Ha, thank you, Lord. Ha, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Isn't it wonderful to think that when you look in your daddy's eyes, he's not measuring you up? Isn't that wonderful? That when you look in the eyes of Jesus, your big brother and Lord and Savior, that he's not measuring you up. When you look in the mirror, you cannot measure yourself up anymore. Let God be the judge. Let God be the judge. Some of you need to point at your chest and just say, you're fired. You can't be judge anymore. You've done a terrible job. You're fired. Get down. Ha, thank you, Lord. Just receive his grace. Just receive his refreshing. The Holy Spirit wants to bring freedom. He wants to bring more freedom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can I get some of the ministry team that aren't up here receiving? Just bless those that are up here with grace. Grace, 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 grace. Ha, fresh infilling of love. Thank you, Jesus.